Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And we are 21 days until the midterm elections. Hello, America. I'm Todd Starnes. So glad to have you with us today. Broadcasting from our flagship radio station, KWAM, the Mighty 990 in Memphis, Tennessee. Beautiful day here across the Mid-South. Hope you are having a very nice autumn wherever you might be. Wow, do we have a great show lined up for you. This is pretty exciting. We've got Harriet Hagman, who is running for Congress in Wyoming. She is the Republican nominee, beat Liz Cheney. Now she is going to be the next United States Congressperson from Wyoming. Also, Senator Marsha Blackburn is here, Congresswoman Nicole Malliotakis, our good friend Matt Schlapp from CPAC, and, wow, Congressman Louie Gohmert from Texas is going to drop by to talk about the border crisis. We also have a lot of polling data to share with you. And I will say this, things are looking very, very, very good for Republicans all over the nation. As a matter of fact, even in New York State, Lee Zeldin now neck and neck with Kathy Hochul, who is the incumbent Democrat governor. So the polling data is looking good, and it's only getting better for Republicans around the nation. Are you feeling good? I will say this. I saw the Georgia debates. They had a lot of debates over the weekend. I saw the Georgia debates. Herschel Walker did not show up. He was a no-show to the Atlanta Press Club. And I think based on the fact that he was a no-show, he actually won that debate. Herschel Walker on Friday did the debate with Raphael Warnock in Savannah, Georgia, and I thought Herschel did a good job. Was he the most eloquent, well-spoken person? No, but he made his points very clear that the moderators were on the left side of the aisle. But Walker held his own. He came across as very gracious, very amenable, and a guy who's going to do the right thing if he gets elected to the U.S. Senate. But the Atlanta debates, man, those folks were just all over the place. And, man, did they hate the Republican nominees. But God bless Marjorie Taylor Greene, because she went at it. There was this reporter from News Channel 9 in Chattanooga, and I know that we got a lot of people listening to us on Nuga Radio in Chattanooga, Tennessee. One of the anchors on Nuga Radio was one of the debate moderators for this Atlanta race. You say, why did they pull Sardi from Chattanooga down to Atlanta? Well, it's very simple. You do your geography there. It's Marjorie Taylor Greene butts up against the Chattanooga area. So that's why. So anyway, this guy is trying to be like a Chris Wallace, real kind of smarmy, snarky, kind of a, you know, the kind of person you just, yeah, well, I don't want to go there. You know, you just don't like to be around these kinds of people. Anyway, cut number 8.
All right, this is to Marjorie Taylor Greene there. You're well known for making controversial statements. Detail your process for vetting and fact-checking your statements that you make in public and post to social media.
Can you tell me what's controversial about defending the freedom of speech, or what's controversial about defending our border, or saying we need to? Can you tell me? Give me an example.
No, you do this every time we have a debate where I ask a question that's obvious, and you're like, "What you mean? You were kicked off of your committees for saying things were controversial. You've apologized for controversial statements, right? Those types of things. What is your process for fact-checking and vetting the things that you say in public?"
The things I say in public are the truth, and that's why they're so offensive to Democrat activists in the media just like you. And you're asking me a blanket question with no example. I stand by the things that I say. I stand by saying that we need to secure our border, that we need to protect all of our freedoms and our rights, that we need to stop the America Last Democrat communist policies that are destroying our country. I stand by the words that I say. They're just offensive to Washington, D.C. and the swamp creatures there, because the words that I speak are the same as Americans back home, the same as people in Georgia's 14th district. And the words that I speak are the truth. And you want to know something, Josh? Sometimes the truth hurts, and Washington deserves to hear it. We're over $31 trillion in debt. Our government has failed the American people. And right now, this administration has us on the verge of a nuclear war with Russia, where they care more about funding a war in Ukraine than they care about protecting Americans, helping homeless people on the streets, and securing our border and stopping fentanyl from killing young people in America.
You sorry people. Oh, pardon me. I got caught up in the moment there. Yes, you go, girl. You go, girl. MTG, she just had that gentleman for lunch and dinner. His name is Josh Rowe. He is a news anchor at News Channel 9 in Chattanooga. And she smacked the living daylights out of that fella. He didn't see it coming. Did not know what was going on. But this is how you have to handle the media. I know that many of you Republican candidates, Seth, you're nice people. You go to church, you take a covered dish over to the neighbor when they're not doing good. You send out little notes, kind notes. You treat animals well. You pat the kids on the head there. No, you don't sniff like Biden, but you're very nice to children in the neighborhood. And then when you run for office, you have to confront these really bad people. Like this Rowe guy from News Channel 9 in Chattanooga. And you just got to get nasty. Look, that's how they play it. They're nasty. You got to get nasty back. But you got to get nasty in a very nice way. And I thought Marjorie Taylor Greene hit a home run. I think Herschel Walker hit a home run. And we've seen this play out all over America as Republican candidates, this new generation of Republican candidates, they're actually learning from Donald Trump. And the great takeaway from the Trump presidency is that Donald Trump showed Republicans that, A, it's okay to fight back against the mainstream media, and B, you can beat the living snot out of them. No, that's all. There's no C. It's just A and B. Grace, come on now. I'm just simplifying it for the lunch hour. So anyway, good for you, Marjorie Taylor Greene. A Trafalgar Group poll out this past weekend revealed that a Republican candidate leads a Democrat candidate by 5.3 percentage points on a generic congressional ballot. So it doesn't matter if you're in Portland. Let me explain this. You're in Portland, Oregon. According to this generic congressional ballot, in Portland, Oregon, the Republican candidate would lead the Democrat by an average of 5.3 percentage points. Again, campaign and support your candidate like you're 20 points behind, but it's looking good. I mean, it's looking really good. By the way, Grace Baker went to my very first food and wine festival.
Yes, they did quite the event.
It was very snazzy over the weekend, and actually met some people that listened to the show, and they came over to say hello.
Very nice.
I will say this. Yeah, I'm not big on the highfalutin food. You know, they had like foie gras, and they had duck this and duck that.
Ah, okay.
And Kyle. So Kyle, our audio engineer, is a big foodie. And he was like, oh, you've got to try this. This is the most delicious thing. And so I put it in my mouth, and I realized immediately that it was from the ocean, and it was not cooked.
Oh, yeah, that's the best stuff.
It's called sushi or something. Tuna sushi.
Sushi's delicious.
No, it's tuna sushi.
Was it like seared tuna?
No, it was like
it's just
cube. I don't know.
On the top and the bottom just a little bit, and that's the best.
It was still flopping on the tray.
Smell the ocean.
So I don't know what that was. But anyway, right, a couple of tents there. They had like all these great chefs from all over America. And so I found a barbecue joint there.
Oh, what about dessert?
Dinstals.
Oh.
And it was very good.
Really?
Very
good.
It was very nice. All that to say, it was nice to take a brief respite from politics, but got to hang out, and we're going to talk about that. And of course, we're going to be talking about the greatest thing that ever happened in America over the weekend.
Of course.
Know what I'm talking about.
Oh, I know. I've been bracing myself. I'm ready.
I went out. I realized, I don't have a University of Tennessee Volunteers orange dress shirt.
What?
So I went out to try to find one but they're all gone.
Yeah.
Because now we got people jumping on the bandwagon.
Oh, yes.
All that to say, if we have Alabama fans that call in, listeners that call in today, let them know we're going to be respectful. We will be playing Rocky Top as the intro music.
That's what I was going to ask.
I just want to make sure.
I'll give them a fair warning.
We're on the same page. So, ladies and gentlemen, you saw what happened at Neyland Stadium in Knoxville, Tennessee, over the weekend when the Tennessee Volunteers had their way with the Alabama Crimson Tide. Roll, tears, roll. That is what the Republicans are going to do to Democrats on Election Day in the midterm elections. You mark my words here. It is going to be a great and glorious day. Folks, got to take a break here. Are you excited? Are you fired up? Are you starting to see the energy now? Are you starting to see people talking about the big issues of the day? Church on Sunday, people talking about this. Give us a call, 844-747-8868. That's your toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. We're all feeling the pain at the pump and at the grocery store, too. The market is plunging, and Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. But even worse, seniors are struggling to survive. It's not time to panic, but it is time to act. My friends at AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens, will help you save money on things like cell phone plans, travel, and restaurants. But AMAC does much more than offer senior discounts. Your membership will support their nonprofit AMAC Action, which takes the challenges against our Constitution and a free market straight to Capitol Hill. Joining is easy. Just go to amac.us/starns to start saving today. 2.3 million Americans have already joined AMAC, and you should too. AMAC cares about you and America, so save money and support conservative causes. Go to amac.us/starns. It's only $16 per year, and great news, anyone can join. Go to amac.us/starns. That's amac.us/starns.
Chase McGrath for the win for the Volunteers. From 40. On the way, a knuckleball. He got it!
All right, the entire staff is standing at attention, hand over heart. Welcome back to the Todd Starts Radio Show. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Peyton Manning leading the Pride of the Southland Band yesterday, or over the weekend, rather, in Knoxville, Tennessee. Grace, I will say this, that I know that we're dealing with a major national issue with the midterm elections coming up, but I think this story, Tennessee, the Volunteers, and I know we weren't like worst, I mean, that's Vanderbilt, but from worst to first, it's a great story. Tennessee now ranked number 3 in the country in the coach, it was in the coaches poll.
In the AP poll.
In the AP poll, the coaches poll number 4.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a good chance we could beat Georgia.
I think there is a chance.
I think the good Lord is wearing orange.
No.
I do.
It's hot. I think that's sacrilegious.
Well, probably, but it could be the gospel truth.
It is all that anybody's talking about this week.
So we were at this glamorous, I forgot to tell you the reason why. I want to talk about the food and wine. So right, it's a highbrow kind of an outdoor event. You got the jazz, and everybody gets a wine glass, or the Baptist martini, and all of a sudden, I hear people screaming, and I'm like, oh my gosh, we've got an active shooter. It is Memphis, Tennessee. But it wasn't. They were actually watching the game on the smartphones, and people were gathered around. It was like it was, Idol, some sort of a big national news story, breaking news, and it turned out it was the football game.
Yeah, I got to say, I was at a Memphis Pizza Cafe, a local joint here in Memphis, for the game. I was watching the end, and I watched it, couldn't believe it. Then this woman runs up behind me, grabs my shoulder, and starts shaking me, and she's got an Ole Miss shirt on. She's like, I don't like Tennessee, but Bama just lost. And she's like screaming and jumping around, and we're just like, oh my gosh, the entire world shook.
I was getting messages from people congratulating me as if I was literally on the football team. Like Jeff Katz.
I think, Todd, it's just that you've had so many years of bad football.
You know what it was? We did the nation a great service.
Yes. That's what we did. Thank you for beating Alabama.
You may not be.
That's what it is.
It had to be done. It just had to be done.
You had to do
it. All the trash talk, Nick Saban and the Aflac commercials, it just had to be done.
Yes.
And it was good.
Finally.
Oh, it was good. By the way, Senator Marshall Blackburn was at the game. That's the only reason I want her on the program. I want to find out what happened at the football game.
Yes, the most important news of the day.
Exactly. All right, let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Susie in Georgia, WDUN, our great affiliate. Susie, what's going on?
Hey, Todd. I'm so excited for you. I was just busting over when I pulled that up on my iPad and I saw that, and I was just screaming and hooping, and I was just so excited that Tennessee beat Alabama because I can't stand Alabama.
Oh.
And I said, I bet Todd is having a hissy fit.
It was, Susie, so the Food and Wine Festival is a smoke-free zone. You're not allowed to smoke even though it's a big outdoor area. Susie, there were more people smoking cigars. At the Victory Cigars. They were lighting them up all over the state of Tennessee.
Yeah, and I just heard that y'all are number three now and Georgia's number one.
You know, it's, yes, Susie, and, you know, I know you're probably a big Georgia Bulldog fan.
You're going to say, yeah, people are going to kill me, but I am not.
Oh, you're not. All right, well, I'm not going to tell anybody if you won't, so.
Everybody hearing this won't know that, will they?
But you know, Susie, what I love most about what happened Saturday, it wasn't about politics. It wasn't about the cancel culture. It wasn't about anything but having a good day of Southern football, those great rivalries that have been around for over 100 years. That's what it's about.
And seeing those, I just love college football because those kids are so young. And they're just having a time of their life. And it's just a positive, positive note for our country right now, Todd. That just made me feel so good.
It was. Susie, I think you're absolutely right. It was just a good, you felt good. You felt proud to be American. You felt proud to be a Tennessean. And, you know, if you're from Alabama, you know, just deal with it. You've been beating us for 16 years, so.
Right, there's this one man from church yesterday. I think he was in Alabama, and he wasn't walking around strutting either.
I love it. You know, a lot of people around Tennessee wore orange to church on Sunday.
Did they?
They had to have, yeah.
Fantastic. And the Georgia-Tennessee game should be a game to watch.
It's going
to
be a good one. All right, Susie. Well, thanks for those kind words, and what a great day for college football. And really, I mean, it's, you know, you guys have those rivalries all over the country, and you're just not getting that on the professional level where it's really all about the money. It's all about the egos, and it's not about team. And I think Coach Heupel has done a wonderful job of bringing back the basics, those Tennessee maxims, and making it be about the team and not the individual. So there you go. All right. It's going to be a weird show today. I'm just telling you ahead of time, it's going to be a weird show. We're going to be talking football. We're going to be talking politics. Oh, I am going to be talking about Bubba Wallace. May I just, I just have a question about this. The guy he attacked after the NASCAR race over the weekend, also happened to be Asian American. So I'm just wondering, why didn't Bubba Wallace get arrested? Want to throw that out there. We're going to play some of that and share that story with you as well. All right. Barack Obama says that Democrats are a buzzkill. He says cancel culture has gone too far. Do you buy into that, ladies and gentlemen? 844-747-8868. Has cancel culture gone too far? This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Illegal drug trafficking has turned our southern border into a war zone. It's a war that no one wants to talk about. That's why I urge you to see Border Battle, the new six-part limited documentary series from Turning Point USA. It exposes the sheer evil and inhumanity of drug cartels and the illegal drug trade. Fentanyl has killed tens of thousands of Americans. It's so dangerous, just 3 grains of fentanyl can kill you. Border Battle reveals how illegal immigration, human trafficking, and America's drug crisis has only been made worse by decades of government neglect. Today's drug cartels are militarized with sophisticated weapons, tanks, and drones that drop explosives on their drug competitors right on our southern border. We've never seen this before in the history of our country. Hear directly from Drug and Border Patrol agents about the horrific conditions along the border and what life is really like on the front lines. Watch Border Battle now. Download the full 6-part documentary series at salemnow.com. That's salemnow.com. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. So, by the way, Mercer University, you people in Georgia know where Mercer is. That's in Macon. Is Macon below the Nat line or above? I can't remember. Maybe it's right there at the Nat line. Macon, Georgia, Mercer University, and it's a good Christian school, used to be a Baptist school. I don't think they're Baptist anymore, but they are Christian. And they've announced that they're looking at replacing the homecoming king and homecoming queen. They want something more inclusive, something gender neutral. So they're debating that issue. And look, these kinds of things are happening all over the place. You know, a lot of the comedians, people like Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, they will no longer go on to college campuses to do comedy shows because they're afraid of the blowback they're going to get from this cancel culture mob. Dr. Phil was talking about this on his show just the other day, and they have a bunch of these Gen Zers. Now, keep in mind, the Gen Z crowd has grown up with all of this. So they know the only thing they know about the culture is that if something offends you, then it has to be eradicated. It's bad for you. Let's take a listen. Cut 13.
You're not free to say whatever you want if you get fired for an off-color joke.
How would you feel when it's you who is
out of step with the social mores?
Okay, and then you get the repercussions of what you said.
I think you're still acting like this is something new, though. People have been fired.
Wrongs don't make a right.
People have been fired for things that they've said for forever. But now we're seeing an era where if you're disrespectful or bigoted towards someone, you get fired for that. I don't see that as a bad thing.
But it's a lot more that's been caught up
than
just
that. The point
is,
the threshold has really gotten low. They started medicalizing these words, essentially, by saying, this hurts me, this damages me. You know, I grew up with the old saw, sticks and stones will break your bones, but words shall never hurt you. But that changed when they started saying, this hurts me, I don't feel safe. Now it had to be dealt with by administration.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like we're whispering into people's ears, by the way, you can't really handle life on your own. And if you hear things or are confronted with things that really bother you, you'll be permanently damaged. It's not that young people are not naturally fragile, but the messages, particularly they're giving them on college campuses, make them feel fragile.
I feel like we're just wanting to be heard. And I don't think that there's necessarily anything wrong. I don't think that makes us fragile. I just think we want to be heard.
All right, there you go. These are the people that are going to be making a lot of the rules and setting a lot of the policy moving forward. You need to understand, as much as the millennials were weaponized against the Constitution, Gen Z could be the kill shot, because these people have been immersed in this idea that if you are a white person, especially if you're a white guy, then you really don't deserve to have any opinion. You don't deserve to have a place in the public marketplace of ideas. You've got to be quiet because you're the bad guy. I was watching a podcast, one of these video podcasts over the weekend, working on the new book, and I've got a chapter on the in the book about DC Comics and how they tried to radicalize, you know, the comic books, turning all the characters gay or lesbian or whatever. So anyway, this guy who was probably, I would say, in his late 20s, early 30s, and he's a big comic book fan, he's in the culture, and said, you know what, this is a problem. And he says, people are afraid to speak out, but I don't mind speaking out. But the problem is, because I am white, because I am heterosexual, I don't have a platform, or I don't deserve to have a platform. And that's sort of the mentality out there. So now Barack Obama is weighing in on all of this. And he was doing an interview on a podcast, and I think also for Sirius XM. And President Obama took a shot at the cancel culture. Take a listen.
I think we do get into trouble. Look, I used to get into trouble whenever, as you know, you guys know well, whenever I got a little too professorial and, you know, started when I was behind a podium as opposed to when I was in a crowd, there were times where I'd get, sound like I was given a bunch of policy gobbledygook. And that's not how people think about these issues. They think about them in terms of, you know, the life I'm leading day to day. How is it even relevant to the things that I care most deeply about? My family, my kids, you know, work that gives me satisfaction, having fun. Not being a buzzkill, right?
That's a lesson for the Democratic
Party. Yeah, and sometimes Democrats are, right? Yeah. It's like, you know, sometimes, people just want to not feel as if they are walking on eggshells. And they want some acknowledgement that life is messy and that all of us at any given moment say things the wrong way, you know, make mistakes. Michelle talks about her mother-in-law, or her mother, my mother-in-law, who is a extraordinary woman. But as Michelle points out, she's 86, you know, and sometimes, trying to get the right phraseology when we're talking about issues, Michelle's like, that's like her trying to learn Spanish. It doesn't mean she shouldn't try to learn Spanish, but it means that sometimes she's not going to get the words right.
Si se puede.
And that's okay, right? And that attitude, I think, of just being a little more real and a little more grounded is something that I think goes a long way in counteracting what is a systematic the systematic propaganda that I think is being pumped out by Fox News and all these other outlets all the time.
Oh, geez. You know, so look, back up here a couple of minutes. First of all, propaganda is not being spewed from Fox News. Fox News is actually standing up to this cancel culture mob that Barack Obama's administration gave birth to. You have to go all the way back to the Barack Hussein Obama era. And he's the one who targeted a very large segment of the population, about half the country, and said, all you folks are clinging to your guns, you're clinging to your religion, all of you white folks out there. Remember when he talked about the cops acting stupidly at Harvard University when he had none of the information about the arrest of the professor? Folks, Barack Obama's administration literally gave birth to the cancel culture movement. Look at what happened. Look at what the Obama administration did with the transgender issue. They shoved that agenda down the throats of every public school when they had no right to do so under the law. They sent threatening letters to every public school saying, you will open up your bathrooms, you will open up your locker rooms to boys who identify as girls and vice versa. And if you don't, there will be repercussions. So I'm glad that Obama has maybe seen the light now, maybe because a lot of his friends are getting caught up in the cancel culture movement and they're being destroyed and their lives are being ruined. Maybe that's it. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Let's go to Victor in Maryland. Wants to weigh in on the Democrats. Victor, what's on your mind?
Well, last week there was a debate between Dan Cox, the Trump supporter, and Wes Moore, the Democrat. Wes Moore stepped in it by saying if he were governor, he would ban gas cars and diesel trucks by 2035, just like in California. And I'm afraid he and the other watermelons just don't understand that these electric cars are far more environmental polluters than the so-called gas guzzlers. Case in point, down in Florida, after they dried out the electric cars after the hurricane, down in Fort Myers, they caught on fire because the salt water and the batteries had a chemical reaction, and the cars caught on fire. So I am hoping that the people of Maryland will wake up and not listen to Lockdown Larry, the rhino governor of Maryland, who wants to be in the middle now. And I think there was a commercial showing two yellow lines in the middle of the highway, and those who are in the middle are going to get hit by the left and the right.
Well, we had Dan Cox on the show last week, Victor. Seems like a good enough guy. He's your Republican nominee, and it is going to be it's going to be important for every Republican to get out there and embrace this guy. And unfortunately, Larry Hogan and the others don't want to do that.
Yeah, that's the problem here in Maryland. And also, I'm sitting out here now on my front porch. I got a Alexa hooked up to my FM transmitter so I can get you on my radio. And today I'm learning a little bit about your affiliate down in Georgia, WDON. And I like the way that you give the call letters of the various affiliates so I can tune in and learn a little bit about that area.
Well, you're kind to do that, Victor. I know our friends at WDON appreciate that. And, of course, they're in the Baltimore area. They carry us on delay on WCBM, a great radio station locally owned there. And we're trying to get those guys to convince us to carry us noon to 3 Eastern out there in Maryland. Victor, got to run. Appreciate you, and thanks for listening to us. Enjoy that front porch. It's good front porch weather, right? Sitting on that front porch drinking some community coffee and a Cracker Barrel rocking chair. That's the life. Hey, let's go to Iowa. Jerry, listening to us on the live stream today. Hi, Jerry. What's up?
Hey, Brother Todd. Love your show. It's kind of a newer thing for me recently. A Marine Corps jarhead got me, Vietnam got me listening to you, and we both love you. He just passed away, but I'm carrying on our new thing here. So I just want to say we're being a little too hard on the Gen Zers. I mean, I think we really seriously need to cut them some slack. After all, they did not do this to themselves. We did since the 60s. I've watched this whole thing develop for two or three generations, and I have been the buzzkill to tell people, be careful when you send your kids to government education, because these professors, I have hung out with them, and this has been going on for a long time. So the Gen Zers, we told them, that we put them in K-12. It wasn't their fault. They were just born, had to go to school, government education. Then we told them, now you have to go to college. So they went to college for a couple generations. The seeds have been planted, the chickens are coming home to roost, and they are brainwashed, and it was all done on our watch, and I mean the last couple generations, for sure. And I, by the way, the worst, most terrible thing I have to tell you, and I love sports, and is that the whole sole purpose of university sports is not for exercise or community education, it's to increase enrollment. So now, we all here in Iowa, we have our big three universities. Everybody gets behind the big game. And what's that do? It just puts in the more grist for the mill, puts them through the meat grinder. And now people are scratching their heads going, why are people so woke?
Well, the reason why
is because we did.
Jerry, let me jump in here. Yeah, look, I mean, there's a lot of truth to what you're saying here. I do think, though, that parents bear a lot of responsibility. This is not starting at the college level anymore. That's where it originated. But now they're planting these seeds in preschool. And so by the time a kid reaches high school, they're completely woke. And I've seen this even here in Tennessee, where you've got a lot of these school districts, and they're in conservative areas, but the schools are not conservative. And a lot of kids are coming out of high school, and moms and dads are saying, wait a second, when did little Sally become BLM supporters? Well, they learned that through high school. They learned that in the public education system, the taxpayer-funded education system.
Teacher, my sister is a teacher, my dad was a teacher. And they all became teachers because when they went to woke university, that's where the teachers are made. They have educated these K-12, especially NEA. By the way, there's PEI. That's the Christian education. Support your PEI because there are good teachers in the public schools. But the universities make the teachers, and the teachers, well, our governor and legislature made it illegal for to teach all this sexual weirdness to the schools, but underground, the teachers have vowed they're going to let it blow over and they're going to keep this up. And we've had radio shows on it here. So the underground, the teachers, most of them, have been manufactured in the
universities. Oh, yeah. And what they're doing here, Jerry, what they're doing here, Jerry, is that these people, these teachers, are going out there and they're openly defying the law. Many of these principals, they're in on it as well. Moms and dads are absent, by and large, from what's happening in the classroom. So, and if you don't, that's why I'm a strong advocate for putting cameras in the classroom. Let's let mom and dad, grandma, grandpa, let's let the American taxpayer see what's actually being taught in that classroom. Jerry, got to run. Great call. Folks, got to take a break. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
There's no doubt the nation is facing a financial crisis because of the Biden administration's economic policies. Hi, this is Todd Stearns, and no doubt our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. Now, if all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It's real, physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold, and they can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship the gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Did you know $1 million worth of gold can actually fit inside a shoebox? Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. That's legacypminvestments.com.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. You know, for a couple of weeks now, I've been telling you about these real threats to religious and academic freedom of your college-age kids, or how scholarship opportunities for your daughter or granddaughter who excel in sports are slipping away due to woke policies. Those policies mandating male athletes be allowed to compete with females, and how activists are trying to force businesses to endorse lifestyles that defy their deeply held religious beliefs. We tell these stories every day on our website. Well, the scary thing is, if it can happen to these people, it can happen to you. And that's where our friends at Alliance Defending Freedom come in. All this month, our radiothon raising money for Alliance Defending Freedom so they can fight for these good American people. Now, your gift of $100 or any amount keeps ADF on guard and ready to defend all of our first freedoms. In fact, ADF President Mike Ferris tells us small donations are the backbone of ADF's nationwide support.
About a third of all of our giving comes from what we call grassroots donors. If we lost that third of our giving, it would be an enormous loss. It would be, you know, well over $35 million. And so people's gifts really do add up. It's one of the reasons that why ADF is by far the largest conservative Christian legal organization in the country.
So now it's your turn, folks, and I want you to call my brand new phone number to help, 855-417-6556. Let me give that number to you again. Write this down, 855-417-6556. or you can go to toddstearns.com and click on the Alliance Defending Freedom banner. You're going to see it there right at the top of the page. Your first gift to ADF is going to be matched 100%, and I don't want to leave any of that matching money on the table, so we really do need your help this week to hit those numbers. Our final goal, $20,000. That's the amount we're trying to raise. So again, toddstearns.com. That's toddstearns.com. Click on the Alliance Defending Freedom banner. It's right there at the top of the page. You can't miss it. All right. Wow. We've got a lot of great guests coming up, including our friend Marsha Blackburn. We'll be talking to Senator Blackburn about politics and football. Also, Congressman Louie Gohmert on the way as well. Stick around, everybody. Hour two coming up next. Thanks to you great Americans, MyPillow is an amazing company. And Mike Lindell has an amazing offer for my listeners on his standard MyPillows. You get a standard MyPillow, normally $69.98, only $19.98. You're also going to get deep discounts on all MyPillow products like MyPillow towels, mattress toppers, My Slippers, so much more. All you have to do is go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square to get Mike's standard MyPillow for just $19.98. Or you can call 800-839-8506 and use the promo code STARNS. MyPillow is made in the USA, comes with a 10-year warranty so you know it's going to last, and a 60-day money-back guarantee so you have nothing to lose. It's time to start getting the quality sleep we not only want but need. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 and use the promo code STARNS to take advantage of Mike's special offer on his standard MyPillow. That's MyPillow.com, promo code STARNS, or call 1-800-839-8506.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, America. Welcome to Hour 2 of the Big Show. Good to have you with us today. A very busy news day here on the program as we are in the home stretch for the midterm elections. By the way, Ricky from Arkansas wondered, Todd, are you going to remind people that Tennessee beat Alabama every hour of the program? Yes, we are, Ricky, and thank you for reminding me of that. We're very happy Tennessee Volunteers here on the Todd Starnes radio program. So, look, a big story brewing out of Utah involving Senator Mike Lee. Senator Mitt Romney is refusing to endorse or support Senator Lee, and it is causing major concern because Evan McMullen is running an independent race for the Senate, and McMullen is trying to coalesce, get the Democrats, independents, and moderate Republicans to coalesce around his campaign. And it doesn't make any sense. Everybody else who's a Republican, whether it be at the state level or even in the U.S. Senate, they have thrown their support behind Mike Lee. But once again, you have Willard Mitt Romney, who is a rhino, a Republican in name only, someone who is cut from the same cloth as Liz Cheney, who is trying to sabotage the Republican Party's efforts to retake the U.S. Senate. Well, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line because there's our next guest knows a little something about that. Her name is Harriet Hageman, and she is going to be the next Republican congresswoman from the state of Wyoming. Harriet, what an honor to have you with us today.
Well, Todd, the honor is all mine. Thank you for having me.
You know, you have fought an incredible fight thus far and going up against the establishment of the Republican Party. What was that experience like for you? I have to imagine it was pretty difficult at times.
Well, it was interesting. I'll tell you what I did is I just focused on my race, my message, and my effort to get out the vote for us. So I drove in the last 13 months. I have driven over 45,000 miles in the state of Wyoming. We've had over 250 public events. I have met with industry groups from one end of the state to the other. I have, right now I'm on a tour of a wonderful school called WyoTech in Laramie, Wyoming, learning about everything from diesel engines to welding to interiors for vehicles. It's a It's a fabulous trade program that we have here. And I really focused on what I was doing and my message. I will say one thing about when you talk about Mitt Romney and Liz Cheney, I refer to them as part of the Uniparty. And that is, there's a group of Republicans and Democrats in Washington, D.C., that they don't care who's in power just so long as they are. And that's who Mitt Romney and Liz Cheney are. I'm very disappointed in Mitt. I was so disappointed in Liz that I ran against her, and I'm going to replace her. So we've got to get good conservatives in there. Mike Lee is a fabulous senator. He is solid. He's conservative. He's got the right philosophy, and he's always going to work to protect the citizens of this country. So I'm hopeful and I'm confident that he's going to prevail because the people of Utah have common sense. But taking on the establishment or the Uniparty, it can be tough, but it can be done, and we've got to do it.
And Harriet, I have no doubt you are going to make a great congresswoman from Wyoming. But like you, I was just disappointed and really frustrated with Liz Cheney. You know, I followed her career for many years, but it's sad what Washington, D.C. and the establishment can do to folks. So I'm just excited that there was a choice and the good people of Wyoming made the right choice there.
Yes, they did. And they did because of all of the things that I talked about. I talked about, you know, inflation, milk, meat, all of the things that are going up in price. I talked about the open border and what we need to do.
Harriet, hold on. I want to get to the open border. I want to go back to that because there was a story about a couple in Wyoming. It was about a week or so ago that made national news. This young couple from Wyoming, they've got a newborn. They're having to eat ramen noodles so they can have enough money to buy baby food to feed their kid. I mean, this is in Wyoming. This is going on.
Yeah. Yes, it is. It's going on all across the country. We don't have 8% inflation. We all know, for any of us who are going to the grocery store, it's substantially higher than that. Gasoline prices are going back up. We've got an administration that's got a war on our fossil fuels and our energy companies. I mean, every decision that the Biden administration has made has been destructive. Everything he's touched, he's destroyed. It's a terrible administration. We've got to counter him any way we can. But yes, we've got issues right here. I went to the grocery store, got 4 bags of groceries yesterday. It cost me over $100, and I think I had only one package of meat in that entire in those 4 bags. Prices are skyrocketing, and it's because of this administration and their failed policies.
And then when you look at what's happening along the border, and you've got the Border Patrol agents are completely overwhelmed. They don't have the backing of the Biden administration. And I suspect whatever numbers you're telling us, Harriet, we just have to multiply by 2 or 3, and we might get a good idea of how many people are actually crossing that border illegally.
Oh, I think that's fair. I think that's absolutely fair. That's the other thing, is that our government is unlike any government in the history of the world, and it is of, by, and for the people. And it's why I say we've got to be really aggressive in trying to force the fact that our government should not be making policies that increase the cost of food, housing, and energy. But that's exactly what this administration has done. This administration has made the decision that they're going to dictate what we can do with our lives in every aspect of our lives. And in the process, they're destroying the economy and they're destroying real people. It is just a tragedy. It's a travesty. We need to fight back. We need good people in Congress who are willing to do it, who are willing to call them out and call out the illegal immigration for what it is and the destruction that it causes to our country, to call out the inflationary forces that are being pushed out of Washington, D.C., the failed policies coming in terms of transportation and infrastructure. We got to get good people elected back in Washington, D.C., but then when we go to Washington, D.C., we actually have to accomplish something. And if we go back there and we protect the status quo, we will have failed. We've got to go back, and we've got 30 years of really bad policies. It's going to take us a while to do it, and right now it's a matter of blocking the radical Biden administration. But when we get into power, we have got to roll back the horrific policies we're seeing right now.
Harriet, we've got about 60 seconds, and I'm just curious, why are you doing all of this? You didn't have to jump into the race. You could have just enjoyed the rest of the year and maybe kick back and relax, but you really decided to put it all out there for the state of Wyoming, and I'm curious to know why you did that.
Because I love Wyoming and I love my country. This truly is the greatest country in the history of the world, and it's based upon freedom and liberty and limited government. I'm not going to let these people destroy my country. I'm not going to let them destroy my state, my family, my brothers and sisters, nieces and nephews. cousins, I'm not going to let them destroy what is truly one of the greatest countries that ever existed. And so I stepped into this because we have to. We don't have, at this point, we don't have any choice to put everything on the line to get back to what we have and what we should have, and block this radical move towards socialism and Marxism that every single one of us knows will not work.
Well said. And Harriet, best of luck to you on Election Day. We're so proud of the great campaign you've run, and you're going to represent Wyoming quite well.
Thank you, Todd. It's good to visit with you.
All right. Harriet Hageman, ladies and gentlemen, running for Congress in Wyoming. She defeated Liz Cheney. And there you heard her talking about the Uniparty. That's the one thing that could cause problems on Election Day. The idea that you could have Republicans like Mitt Romney, who would knowingly sabotage, go out of their way to stop Republicans from being elected simply because he disagrees with their philosophies. It's a pretty horrible thing, but we have seen this play out time and time again. Liz Cheney, John McCain, Willard Mitt Romney, the list goes on and on and on. We got to take a break. 844-747-8868. Again, that's a toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. Just a reminder, Radiothon for Alliance Defending Freedom going on right now. Go to toddstearns.com, click on that banner, and you can make a donation to Alliance Defending Freedom. The Todd Starnes Radio Show. We are having a great time on Rocky Top today. And I was just so impressed, Grace Baker, to see at the end of the game where you had a sea of orange just pouring over the walls.
Yes.
and filling the the stadium there. It was a pretty awesome sight.
And the fireworks.
And I was at the Memphis Food and Wine Festival, which is a smoke-free facility. And I will tell you that there are a lot of people smoking cigars.
They must have had those on hand ready to go.
I have so many questions for our next guest, a great friend of this program and a great patriot. From the state of Tennessee, Senator Marsha Blackburn. And Senator, I know you were there Saturday night.
Oh my goodness. It was, the entire weekend was electric, Todd. I mean, people were so excited. And I had been talking with our good friend Clay Travis before the game started. And one of the things we were talking about was the amount of fan energy that was there. People that were so excited, they just felt like this is the year. And even though they didn't have tickets to the game, they came to Knoxville. They were on campus. They were at a tailgate, or they were in one of the areas. What they had done was to set up these big screen TVs all over campus. So it was like the smaller version of a Jumbotron, and people were gathered around watching the game on those. Just thousands of people all across the campus, and they were all cheering, and they were there. They just knew this was the year, and it was.
It's the only time, Senator, that it's okay to stop a red wave is when they're playing Tennessee.
Well, indeed. And I think that when we get to November 8th, it's probably, when you're looking at the polling that is out today, even the New York Times poll, it is showing that the generic ballot is favored for Republicans, that you have upwards of 70% of the American people that say they've had to change their shopping habits, that they're having to change what they had planned to buy, where they're going to go. When you've got that kind of energy behind an issue, which is inflation, the price at the pump, the price at the grocery store, I think Republicans will take the House and Senate.
No, I think you're right, and we've been talking to Republicans all over the country, especially in Oregon, where they could have the first Republican governor in 40 years. She is leading in the polling there. You've got Rhode Island, which could end up flipping one of those congressional seats as well. You know, Senator, I mean, this really is, I think, the perfect storm. And the American people, and especially Hispanic Americans, are saying, okay, that's it. We're done with the Democrats. Let's see what the Republicans can do.
And I think you're right on that. What we are hearing from so many people is that whether it is the Hispanic American population, which is very pro-life, which is very pro-family, and very much involved in the life and rearing of their children, they are so offended with the way that the Democrats have approached these issues. And people are saying, look, when it comes to inflation, when it comes to crime, when it comes to fentanyl in the communities, that open southern border, parental rights, the Republicans are in the right spot on these issues. We're going to vote Republican on this ballot. Doesn't mean they've changed forever. Doesn't mean that they won't become ticket splitters, if you will. But what they are going to do this cycle, this midterm, they're saying our values, our freedoms, our rights matter more to us than a party identity, and so we're going to vote Republican.
Do you think that the voters remember what the administration did to them 2 years ago in the early stages of the pandemic, the church shutdowns, the punishing of people for singing hymns, the shutting down of the schools? Do you think that's, the mandatory mask, do you think that's going to have an impact on people voting?
You know, I do think it's going to have an impact on people voting because this is new and fresh with them. And I have chuckled as Joe Biden has declared the pandemic over and then his handlers have had to go back and try to figure out how to continue the pandemic. They're desperate to continue the pandemic and continue their control. But people have not gotten over the effects of the pandemic. And they did not like the lockdowns, the mandates, the loss of the ability to address the education of their children, looking at the learning loss of children, looking at the loss of wages and salaries and careers. And people are just saying, no, we are not going to play this game with you.
And what I find fascinating is the issues that they thought were going to drive people to the polls, abortion, the January 6th committee. Even the New York Times and Washington Post are saying the committee is, I'm just reading here, ineffective, tedious, a sermon that just won't end. And then abortion is ranked number 16 or 17 on a lot of the list I've seen about issues that are important to voters, Senator.
Well, yeah, and people that rank abortion high, not all of them are pro-abortion. Many of them are pro-life.
Right.
And what has been so interesting to me, Todd, is I have talked to women, whether I'm here in Tennessee or around the country for some of my colleagues, and people will say, well, I don't want a federal ban on abortion. I'm pro-life, but I don't want a federal ban. Or they'll say, I'm pro-choice. I read online that the Dobbs decision put in place a federal ban. And when I say no, the Dobbs decision sent it back to the state and have them go online and look at what the Dobbs decision actually says, not what some pundit says about the Dobbs decision. Most people say, well, you mean that the state legislature is going to make those decisions? I said, yes, they will put in place the restrictions and regulations on abortion. Oh, well, okay, now I'm for that. So once people hear what Dobbs actually did with putting the states in the driver's seat on this issue, they're fine with that. They actually prefer that.
There you go. Senator, we've got about 20 seconds, and I have two of the most important questions. Number one, did you storm the field? And number two, did you smoke a cigar Saturday?
I did neither, but I wore my orange, and we had a great day.
That's great. All right. Well, Senator, congratulations. So glad you're at the big game, and we look forward to talking to you down the road.
You got it. Take care.
Bye-bye. All right.
Now.
Senator Marsha Blackburn, she was there with the grandkids, took a picture on the field. Looks like they had a great time. All right, folks, we got to take a quick break here and pay some bills. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Hey, head over to ToddStearns.com. Download our podcast. Sign up for the newsletter. It comes out every day. We'll be right back, America. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Very happy to have you with us today as we continue our countdown. 21 days until the midterm elections. Want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line right now. Good friend of this program and a great lawmaker from the 11th Congressional District in New York, Congresswoman Nicole Malliotakis. Nicole, good to have you back with us.
Great to be with you. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, how are things going out there in New York? We've seen the polling data, especially in the New York gubernatorial race, where Lee Zeldin could very well be the next governor there. Looks like Republicans are really making some inroads.
Yeah, look, even in a blue state like New York, people are fed up. I speak to Republicans, independents, and even Democrats who say that they're going to vote Republican this year because they are tired of the high crime. They are tired of the reckless spending. They're tired of seeing, illegal immigrants coming to New York and being treated better than citizens by Governor Kathy Hochul and our mayor. I'm real hopeful that we can put Lee over the top. If we get everyone out to vote and hold on to seats like mine. My seat in particular, we flipped this seat, Democrat to Republican, 2 years ago. I'm in a rematch with the congressman that I beat. And I think we're going to hold on to this seat with the support of everyone. It is a critical seat, not just for New York City, but for the entire country to make sure we fire Nancy Pelosi once and for all. And I think in New York, we actually may come back with more Republicans in our congressional delegation than we currently have.
You see, I love how you frame that, because I think this is one of those rare moments where these local elections and congressional races are really nationalized. It's everybody's got to do their part to get out there, and we've got to stop these radicals, these AOC, Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, Ayanna Pressley liberals that are out there wanting to destroy our nation. Got to do it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And this is the year, and I tell everyone that, look, no one can sit on the sidelines. Everyone has to get out to vote, particularly when you see what's at stake for New York, being able to take back the governor's race and end New York's one-party rule once and for all. And the same thing goes for our country. I mean, the reality is every single crisis that we're facing right now was created by one-party Democrat rule, from the border crisis to public safety issues in America's cities to the economy to the lack of energy independence. All created by Joe Biden and one-party rule. So we have to end it. I'm proud to be working really hard in this community to hold on to this seat. Those who want to help, please go to NicoleForNY.com. Make sure we keep New York City's only Republican voice, but also make sure we hold on to the seat that we need to flip the House. I think people recognize the importance of this election. I think oftentimes we hear the most important election of our lifetime. For me, as somebody born in 1980, this is the most important election of my lifetime, and you're seeing the highest inflation of my lifetime. We're seeing New York City go back to the days pre-Giuliani, what it was like. So this really is, for at least my generation, the most important election that we've ever faced, and we can't afford another 2 years of this. I think that's the bottom line. I think every day Americans are starting to recognize that as they look at their 401k, as they look at their investments, their retirement savings. They're seeing how inflation is eating away at their paycheck. Right now, you're costing you a month's salary just to keep up with the pace of inflation. So it's hitting people where it hurts, and I think they recognize that it's a result of Joe Biden's incompetent presidency. and the Democrats that have gone along with him every step of the way.
I know you have a lot of law enforcement firefighters that live over in your district. I lived in Brooklyn for 15 years, and that is traditionally a bastion of conservatives. And I'm wondering, especially with the out-of-control crime, are you starting to hear from people who are maybe Democrats, and they say, you know what, we're making the switch, we're coming over to the Republican side of the aisle?
Yeah, look, anybody with common sense is seeing that we can't continue with the one-party rule in New York. Our governor has straight out told the people of New York that they have no intention of fixing the disastrous bail law that has led to crime skyrocketing. So the only way we're going to get crime under control is if we elect Lee Zeldin and have somebody who's going to push the state legislature to fix that law. But he said he was going to take executive action on the first day, declare New York in a crime emergency so he can stop all the, and there's been multiple laws, it's not just the bail law, it's multiple laws that the state legislature have put in place that have got us to this point. So that is why we need a balance. And I think Democrats recognize that we need a balance, that the pendulum has swung too far to the left, that the party has basically left them. It's not the party of JFK anymore, for sure. It's not even the party of Bill Clinton anymore. And so they need to get things back in balance. And the only way to do that is to have at least, to break this one-party control, and at least have a Republican governor, or if you're looking at the federal level, at least having a Republican Congress.
I love it. Nicole, we're excited about the great work you're doing there in New York, and good luck to you out there on the campaign trail.
Thank you. Great to be with you.
All right, that's Congresswoman Nicole Malliotakis, a great, great conservative there from the 11th Congressional District in New York. Also a boxer. A lot of people didn't realize that, but she's very good, very talented, and she goes back to New York, works with the police department. You know, the police departments in New York City, they have the boxing leagues, and she's very involved in helping kids get off the street. And you know, especially those kids, maybe they come from not-so-great homes, she's able to help them get on the straight and narrow. But again, you don't want to mess with Nicole Malliotakis, I'll tell you that much. By the way, there is a crazy story. Speaking of Kathy Hochul, I've got to share this this story with you. There is a school district out on Long Island in New York. And this school district, there is a teacher. And the teacher is, she is of the LGBTQIA persuasion. I don't know which letter of the alphabet she ascribes to, but she's one of them. And so she's also a math teacher. That's her main job. She's a math teacher at the high school, Contiquot High School on Long Island. And she's also in charge of the Gay Straight Alliance, which is a club. Well, anyway, she has turned her classroom, her math class, into sort of like a gay rights or gay pride room there. And we've got the photograph. You can see it on our website. There is a massive, you know how big the chalkboards are, you know, in the traditional classroom. There is a chalkboard size gay pride flag in the classroom. And then there's this gay progress pride transgender flag, and that's been flying. And then there in the corner is a teeny tiny American flag. But the and she's got all these sayings on the walls, the whole nine yards. So anyway, students in the class were really getting uncomfortable. They felt uncomfortable with all of this LGBT material, propaganda, the flags. And so they told their parents, and the parents go to the school and they say, what's going on here? What are you people doing? Is this a math class or is this gay pride class? And they called the teacher in, and they told the teacher, hey, look, you know, you're actually breaking the law, because the only flags that are allowed to fly in the classroom are the United States flag and the flag of New York. So the teacher refused to obey and said, I'm not taking down anything. You can't do that. So they finally said, look, here's the deal. You're going to take down the flag or you're going to lose your job. They said the students felt uncomfortable and they don't want to be in the classroom. And this is a math class. This is not gay pride class. So anyway, all you know what broke loose, and the teacher is remaining defiant. They tried to offer a compromise. They said, all right, look, we're going to let you keep the gay pride flag, but you got to get rid of this this other flag because that's political. And that's the whole point is you can't have political flags in the – so you can't have a thin blue line flag. You can't have the Christian flag. You sure can't have the Confederate flag. But you can't have any of those flags. Those flags are not allowed, but you're allowed to put all these other flags in there. So now it's like hundreds of people are protesting. They've got every news organization, every gay pride group in New York, and now the governor of New York is involved in all of this. And so here's what the governor's doing. She has ordered the Human Rights Division to investigate the school, and they're saying that they have violated this woman's human rights by telling her to take down the flags in the taxpayer-funded classroom. I want to read some of the comments here. This is great. And most of the people that they're quoting in the TV and news reports are supportive of the teacher. Quote, if you take down the pride flag, you're sending the message that homophobia is going to fly here and I would have to hide myself. That's an eighth grader who is commenting. Quote, this is a disgusting, blatant act of intimidation against the LGBTQ plus community and its allies, and an attempt to create an environment of hostility for LGBTQ plus students, another protester said. We can't tolerate this happening anywhere in America. You can't display a pride flag showing support for people who aren't straight. I'm sorry, that's insane. The governor says that she's committed to protecting the human rights of New Yorkers and has ordered the Department of Human Rights to investigate potential violations of human rights law. What, is somebody going to go to jail? Is that what they're going to do here? This is insane. Now, here's my take on this. And I'm not an old fuddy-duddy. I just have a few questions here. This is a math class, right? Math. So the LGBT activists have yet to explain what any of this has to do with teaching kids about mathematics. Nobody's been able to do that. The teacher was hired to teach math, not indoctrinate people or groom people. That's not her job. And by the way, why isn't the New York State flag in that classroom? I mean, it's supposed to be there under state law. And by the way, what about the POW/MIA flag? Why isn't that flag in the classroom? Or the flag for the Marine Corps, or for the Army, or for the Navy, or the Air Force? Folks, I'm telling you, I think like Barack Obama said, you know, these Democrats are buzzkills. I mean, but this is the environment they created. I'm telling you, it's not good. Should the gay pride flags be in the classrooms? 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. You just heard Senator Blackburn, Congresswoman Nicole Malliotakis on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. We love Patriot Mobile. You know why? Because they are spending a lot of money defending moms and dads against their radical leftist school boards. And they have been very successful in these campaigns. So they literally take a portion of their profits and they're investing that into organizations that are fighting for freedom and liberty. And that's why I'm a big, big fan and supporter of Patriot Mobile. By the way, they have plans to fit any budget, no matter how big, how small, if you're just a family or you're a business, they are able to take care of you. And by the way, first responders, they got you covered with even more discounts. All you need to do is go to patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd and check out all of their great products. Also, if you use my promo code, which is Todd, you're going to get a free gift and free premiere installation. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd. And our radiothon continues, ladies and gentlemen. Alliance Defending Freedom. We are raising money so they can fight for our freedom. You can join the cause. Donate $100 at toddstearns.com. Click on the Alliance Defending Freedom banner. That's $100, and it's a matching gift. So if you give $100, thanks to a generous ADF donor, they're going to double that. And we want to take full advantage of those opportunities and that specific opportunity at toddstearns.com. All right, let's go to the phones here, 844-747-8868. Jim in Statesville, North Carolina, WSIC, our great affiliate there. Hey, Jim, what's on your mind?
Good afternoon, Todd. How you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
Good. I am up to my eyeballs in this LGBT stuff. Like, every day I hear it, I'm sick of it. And it all seemed to start back in 1985 with the small voices speaking big. And I'm just tired of hearing it. But on the other hand, back in junior high, ninth grade, there was a teacher. She taught social studies. And she had the cover picture of Playboy magazine posted on a bulletin board in the classroom.
Is that right?
But nobody ever said anything. And it was there. I think she used to change it. When the months changed. But we all thought it was kind of cool.
Well, we had those kinds of teachers. I remember my civics teacher, I can't say his name because I don't want to get him in trouble. But he used to keep a flask in the desk drawer there and used to take a couple of sips every now and again when he didn't think we were watching.
I don't recall anything like that, but we all thought it was kind of cool there to see the Playboy.
I bet you did. Well, there you go. I mean, you know, it is. You got to keep the kids interested, I reckon. So,
good times were a lot different back in the 60s.
Yes, they were. All right, Jim. Appreciate the call there. Wow. You know, I got an email from Carrie Schween. She is running for school board in Germantown, the city I live in, where I pay my taxes. By the way, Grace, over the weekend, again, the Kroger and the Huey's hamburger joint, they went, which is directly across from the police department headquarters, they were smashing windows.
I know exactly where that is. What in the world is going on over there?
Unbelievable.
I mean, that's generally one of the safest places you could be, you would think.
You would think so. So then they're having an outdoor concert in my area, and they hit a couple of cars over there.
Of course. Ridiculous.
We need to be tasing these people or doing something.
Got to do something, because it's just not going to stop, clearly.
Anyway, Carrie Schween, running for school board as a conservative, and some of the stuff she's sharing. Get this. An eighth grade counselor for Houston Middle School is telling students it's important to celebrate Pride Month. This is in the South here, people. In this public promotion, the school counselor is telling students it's important to be an ally of LGBTQ causes. This is happening again at the middle school. The counselor also telling boys and girls they should honor LGBTQIA activists. The counselor also posting things, and we asked the school district about this. They said, hey, look, it's their personal social media pages, so we can't do anything about it. I find that very hard to believe. It also features depictions of men in women's clothing. As Carrie Schween writes, schools are not the appropriate place to promote sexual and gender ideology, particularly to 11 and 12-year-olds. Houston Middle School's counseling program is openly promoting gender ideology by using preferred pronouns in their Instagram biography. Doing so implies that genders are not linked to biology, but are linked to one's personal preferences or choice. Again, okay, you can have that conversation, but is that a conversation for school or a conversation for home, ladies and gentlemen? 844-747-8868. That's our phone number. Hour 3 coming up next.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American.
Starnes.
And hello, America. Welcome to Hour 3 of the Big Show. Good to have you with us today. 21 days out from the midterm elections, the moment that we can stop the radical Biden agenda. By the way, this information coming from the New York Times, Republicans are holding a new advantage in the quest to take back Congress. This is the New York Times Siena College poll. It was published earlier today. Republicans hold a 4-point advantage over Democrats in the midterm elections. This is on a generic ballot. About 49% of likely voters say they would back the GOP nominee, 45% the Democrat. And we are seeing reports all over America. You heard Senator Marsha Blackburn in the last hour of the program tell us that things are looking good out there. Well, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, good friend of this program, Matt Schlapp from the American Conservative Union and CPAC. Matt, hope you're doing well today.
You too, Todd. I couldn't be more optimistic politically.
Why do you say that?
Because I looked at that New York Times poll and I looked at the Fox News poll that came out today. And, you know, if you look at the last 7 national polls, they all show a growing advantage. All except Fox News, interestingly enough, show a growing Republican advantage. And I'm on the campaign trail nonstop. I just got back from campaigning with Carrie Lake, and I'm off to go help Herschel Walker and Ted Budd in North Carolina. And, you know, when you're on the ground, Todd, you realize the Democrats have no answer. They have no answer to the fact that they want 9 months of abortion. They have no answer to the fact that people are really worried about food prices and fuel prices. The reason why so many of these candidates are skipping the debates is, quite honestly, they don't want these two questions, the two big questions. Is there any abortion you're against? Of course, they're against none. Number two, why haven't you invited Joe Biden and Kamala Harris to campaign for you? Because none of them have.
It's a fair point. And one of the things I love about those who are going on the debates is that they have learned from Donald Trump how to fight back and how to push back. Marjorie Taylor Greene did that yesterday with the Atlanta Press Club event. And then on the Sunday show, I want to play some audio here. This is Carrie Lake calling out CNN. This is a brilliant take on election deniers. Cut number 6.
In 2016, Kamala Harris, Amy Klobuchar, and Hillary Clinton, everybody on the Democrat side said the election had problems.
Ms. Lake, there definitely has been some of that. But I want to say in 2000, Al Gore conceded. In 2004, John Kerry conceded. In 2016, Hillary Clinton conceded, and we didn't see that in 2020. That's the difference. And so the question is, are you undermining faith in elections by saying that the 2020 election was stolen when there's absolutely no evidence to support that?
Dana, in 2018, Stacey Abrams never conceded. She still hasn't. I don't hear CNN calling her an election denier. We have the right. It's protected with our First Amendment to question our government and to question elections.
No question.
And we still have the First Amendment.
Yep.
We still have the First Amendment. And when you start seeing the media cancel people for questioning their government, then that's when we have a problem.
I totally agree about the First Amendment. You and I are benefiting from the First Amendment as we speak. So I couldn't agree with you more.
Well, Matt, there you go. Carrie Lake showing people how to fight back against this leftist media.
Yeah, when I was on the ground there, I had dinner with Carrie Lake and some of her advisors who are great friends. And, you know, they were talking through this question about going on CNN and MSNBC. And throughout my career, I've always agreed to go on combative media. I've done Bill Maher's show a couple of times. And, you know, I think that our country is better off when people who have very different views than the host at CNN and MSNBC go on those shows. And I give Carrie Lake a lot of credit because almost all the smart political people are telling her that's stupid, but I think it's smart. And by the way, I think she's winning people over in Arizona, and that's a state that's more purple than it is blue. I think it's going to vote more red this time. But I think, you know, their arguments are actually not sound. And I think that Dana Bash then went after, but asked Carrie Lake's opponent, why won't you debate her? And she was like, well, she's crazy and all she does is interrupt me. And Dana Bash was like, well, actually, she was on my show, and she gave it back. So good for Carrie Lake.
You know, man, I was reading thehill.com. They've got the numbers from CNN's poll. They threw those numbers in here to compare those with the New York Times. CNN showing Republicans leading Democrats 48% to 43. Inflation and the economy are hurting Biden and the Dems, which is really fascinating because Biden was just saying the other day as he was enjoying an ice cream cone that the economy is strong as hell. That's what the president said, Matt.
Yeah, the thing is this, Joe Biden said that it's better in America than it is in these other countries. And the fact is this, America has the largest economy in the world, and what we do has a big impact. And what we've decided to do to increase the prices of fossil fuels because he's canceling programs left and right has had a global impact on everyone. And then the fact that Putin doesn't fear America and has invaded Ukraine, I put that at, look, Putin's the bad guy here, but I put it at Joe Biden's doorstep. He is a weak leader, and Putin thinks he can have his way with his neighbors, and that's had a bad impact on fossil fuels. So prices, you know, Joe Biden has really nothing he can say on any of these questions. And the other thing is we super juiced our economy. It did start under President Trump because we had the pandemic, but then the Democrats just never stopped with emergency spending, trillions and trillions of dollars, and that's what fueled inflation. And yes, it's also had a global impact, but, you know, we're awash in dollars that are meaningless. And Joe Biden's responsible for that. So, I mean, you know, it's not like he's the political victim. He is the victim of his own stupid Marxist policy.
Here's my concern. You've got a Senate race like Mike Lee in Utah, where you've got Romney, who will not endorse, will not support the sitting United States senator. You've got Evan McMullen, and people are really wondering if the Democrats are going to be able to muster enough support among establishment types to take out a sitting Republican senator. And that's my concern here, is you've got a lot of these establishment Republicans are willing to sabotage some of these races.
You look at Liz Cheney going in to compete against people like Carrie Lake. You look at what Mitt Romney is doing in his home state of Utah. And Mitt Romney is pretty much lying to people. He's saying, excuse me, Todd, he's saying he can't endorse or he won't endorse Mike Lee, a sitting Republican senator, because Mike Lee didn't endorse him. But Mike Lee was neutral in a Republican primary. That's much different than a general election contest. So, you know, what Mitt Romney and Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger and all these folks have demonstrated is that it's all about them. It really was never about the principles, and I think you're right to be concerned about Mike Lee. And look, this is part of the Trump phenomenon, which is I think there's a lot of people in this country, a lot of conservatives who have always said they're Republicans, but their party is a bit on trial. Are they going to just take these positions verbally, or are they going to do something about them? Well, Mitt Romney is a Republican in name only. He doesn't fight for our principles. And when you have somebody like Mike Lee who does fight, he wants them to lose. And that was why so many Republicans stood up against Donald Trump. They would say it's because they didn't trust him to be a strong conservative, but they were lying. The reason is Donald Trump was actually going to be a conservative and push for all these things that the rest of the Republicans want to talk about but never do.
Matt Schlapp on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Matt, real quick here, bottom line, what do the Republicans need to do to win and to win big on Election Day?
Well, I'd say turn off your television, listen to Todd Starnes, and quit reading these polls, because I think it's a suppression campaign to get us all discouraged that we blew our chances. They say we blew our chances because we believe in supporting the rights of the unborn child. And nothing could be further from the truth. We're going to find out in this election that being pro-life was a benefit to you by many points. And we're also going to find out that the American people aren't woke and they don't want socialism. I mean, that Fox News poll, it implies that somehow a majority of Americans want government handouts. And I'm telling you, I think after all the excesses we've seen, I'm really starting to feel optimistic and hopeful that the American people have found truth again, and they don't believe that government can solve their problems.
All right, Matt, we're going to leave it there. Appreciate the great work you're doing. Did you guys have a good time down in, what is it, Down Under is what they call it, Australia?
Yeah, CPAC Australia was amazing, Todd. And then we're off to CPAC Mexico right after the election. You know, it's been amazing to watch this grassroots conservative populist nationalist movement just take off all over the world. So it's not just here. It's in a lot of important countries.
I love it. Spreading like wildfire. Love it. All right, Matt, appreciate you.
Thank you, Todd.
Matt Schlapp, everybody, from American Conservative Union, and, of course, they organize CPAC. It's encouraging. But as Matt said, turn off. I like how he said that. You got to turn off the TV and listen to us. And we're going to get you through this. Again, I'm encouraged, and you should be encouraged as well. That doesn't mean that our work is done. You've got to get out. You got to go vote on Election Day, and you got to bring everybody you know and let them go vote on Election Day. Let's go to the phones real quick here. 844-747-8868. Bill, Cordova, Tennessee, KWAM, our flagship station there. Hey, Bill, what's going on? What's on your mind?
And what a great station it is. I always enjoy it. I listen pretty much all day long. I get very frustrated, though, when I hear people like that CNN reporter say there's absolutely no proof of election fraud. Five states, Todd, five states, I believe it was, closed down election night at like 10:30 with Donald Trump in the lead. No votes were being counted, supposedly, but when they came back up, Joe Biden was in the lead in five states. That I don't get that. The other question I had, I want to ask these people that say there's no fraud, is in Georgia they had the broken water pipe. Two people stayed in the building, even though it was evacuated, and continued counting votes that they pulled from suitcases under a table, and this is on video, and ran those votes through that machine multiple times, and it turned out there was no broken water pipe. So my question for these vote fraud deniers from the 2020 election, and I did change that up a little bit, you might have noticed, is if there was no fraud, how did the woman in Arizona get prosecuted for 20,000 fraudulent votes that she pled guilty to doing? There was fraud in almost every Democrat-run state in this country on 2020.
It's a fair question, Bill. But honestly, at this point, that's not going to move the needle when it comes to, to what happens in November. It's just really not.
No, it's not. My point is I'm just frustrated with hearing these people say there was no fraud. You can't turn back the clock. It's not going to be undone. But they need to admit that there was fraud in this last election. And it just needs to be said.
Bill, appreciate the call. Got to take a break here. 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. By the way, this Harvard-Harris poll that's out, we told you about the CNN poll. On the CNN poll, only 5% of voters said that abortion was a big issue for them. Only 5%. And as you, I think it was Senator Blackburn said, and out of that 5%, many of those people are, in fact, pro-life. So it's the abortion issue. Harvard-Harris poll, the most important issues, the top five. Inflation, 37%. The economy, 29%. Immigration, 23%. Crime and drugs, 18%. Abortion, 17%. Your top five issues, according to the Harvard-Harris poll. So you got all these Democrats going out there campaigning specifically on the abortion issue. It's not registering with voters. It is not registering with voters. The generic ballot among voters in the Harvard-Harris poll, Republicans up by 6. All right, got to take a break. Again, 844-747-8868. Take part in our radiothon for Alliance Defending Freedom. Go right now to our website, toddstearns.com. You click on that Alliance Defending Freedom banner. Donate $10, $50, $100. Whatever you donate is going to be doubled thanks to a generous Alliance Defending Freedom donor. We're doing our part to raise money so that we can fight for freedom, and you can too at toddstearns.com. All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us. Oh, I've got to share this story before we go to Mark, who's on hold. So hang tight for just a moment there, Mark. But now, word out of Illinois is that the governor there is going to recommend that all of you vaccinated individuals continue wearing your face coverings. So this is part of an ongoing issue that is going to impact the midterms, and it's got to. The idea that people who live in Illinois are now going to have to wear their mask, whether they've got the vaccine or not, it's perpetual now. Would you do that, ladies and gentlemen? Many of you have been freed from the face diaper. Would you go back? Would you, if the government said, you've got to put that face diaper back on, or as we called it back in the day, the burqa, the face burqa, would you do it? If the government tells you, got to mask up again, would you do it? 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Let's go to Mark in the Villages. Wants to weigh in on college football. Mark, what say you?
Good afternoon, Todd. I was going to ask how your ticker was holding up after that Volunteers game. It's been like 15. It's a 15-year drought for Tennessee against Alabama. Well-deserved win, Todd. Hooker passes and Young.
Mark, just one moment, please. Oh, key change. I love it. Thank you very much. Mark, I'm sorry you were saying.
So as I was saying, that was funny. Hooker passing to Jalen Hyatt, unbelievable. Here's some stats you probably already know. Hooker for Tennessee, 385 yards passing, 5 touchdowns. Young for Alabama, 455 yards, 2 touchdowns for a combined total yardage of 840 yards. I lived in Alabama for 13 years, and their teams and fans are an arrogant and rude group of individuals. Not all, but many. That's why I pull for Auburn, Alabama, and any other team that beats them. When Alabama was out of the championship a few years ago against Auburn, Auburn went on to win the championship with that nut Cam Newton during the championship game with Oregon 22-19. Alabama was pulling for Oregon instead of their own home team. That's how crazy they are.
Oh, it's a whole other world when you're talking about football in Alabama. Hey, Mark, we're coming up on the news break here. We got to let you go, but appreciate the call. It was an unbelievable game, and folks, if you got to go back and watch it, it's just really fun. Good old Smash Mouth Southern football. All right, hang tight, folks. Got to take a break here. Congressman Louie Gohmert coming up. If the government says you got to wear that face diaper again, would you do it? 844-747-8868. We're going to be taking your calls on that. We'll be right back. I know what my answer is going to be. Hey, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio program. Let's go now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Good to have with us from the 1st Congressional District in Texas, our good friend Congressman Louie Gohmert. Hey, Congressman, how's it going today?
Well, it's going all right for me, Todd, but the country, and especially Washington, D.C., is not going so well.
You know, I think it's interesting, Congressman. We've been following the J6 committee hearings. And even the Washington Post and New York Times are panning the hearings. Not much information coming out that people didn't really know about. Others saying it's not exactly fair or balanced. Are you surprised that even the liberal media is going after the committee now?
Well, they're beginning to take note of what the rest of us have seen and known for quite some time. And when things become extremely obvious, then it's not surprising that the lamestream media would eventually catch up and admit what is clear to everybody else. So, it wasn't fair. It wasn't balanced. It did not have anybody that Republicans had chosen to be on there, Liz Cheney and, let's just say, Adam Kinzinger and Liz Cheney were really favorites of Pelosi, and they become even more so by being on the committee and what they've done. So anyway, it was never a real committee. Committees are supposed to be chosen by both parties, and that just, you know, Pelosi chose who she wanted on there. So it wasn't a proper commission, proper committee. It's not a good way to go about fact-finding when it's as slanted as that was and is. So anyway, it was grossly unfair. And by the way, a good example is you had Liz Cheney, who either suborned perjury or was just totally ignorant, hadn't done her homework, but she elicited from a witness who was talking about people that had requested pardons for themselves, said, oh yeah, Louie Gohmert requested a pardon. So even lame brains like our friend, the Republican senator from South Carolina, has been out there on social media going after me for asking for a pardon for myself. Well, that's a complete lie. It shows his and everybody else's ignorance, because I have never, ever asked for a pardon for myself, because I have nothing for which to get or seek a pardon. But I had requested, I believe it was 8 pardons. You submit a big package, you have the facts, you have support from witnesses, and 7 of those 8 were regarding alleged offenses that occurred in combat theaters. 4 of them had been absolved in Iraq, but then Biden went over as vice president, had a press conference with the prime minister over there, and he made clear that we're going after those 4 guys. They were defending a State Department diplomat. They had a vehicle coming at them full speed. They defended themselves and others. And for that, they got years and years to do in prison. So I asked for pardon for people that deserved it. But the J6 committee, they don't care who they hurt. They don't care about misinformation. They're out there to put on a show and to try to help Republicans lose the midterm election.
No doubt about it. I mean, and they don't mind letting people know that's exactly the intention here. They're certainly not trying to hide it. On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, Congressman Louie Gohmert from Texas, you know, Congressman, moving onto the illegal immigration issue, you just have to sort of laugh at New York City. It looks like 73% of the illegals are being bused to New York City are now in homeless shelters, and it just cracks me up. These people are freaking out with just a few hundred illegals when you guys are dealing with tens of thousands in Texas.
Yeah, and tens of thousands in a month. So that's for them. Well. Like out at Martha's Vineyard, you know, they freaked out. Was it 2 busloads, you know, less than 100 people? And they're freaking out when we have hundreds of times that many coming in to Texas. And what did they do at Martha's Vineyard with their great compassion for humanity? They bust them right out of there. They wanted them off out of their area. So that's what they did. I guess they put them on a plane, get them out of there. Regardless, they didn't want them sticking around. So it's easy to sit around and say, yeah, how terrible is it that people in Texas, or New Mexico, Arizona are concerned about the millions of people coming into their country illegally, which is, Todd, you know, it's called an invasion. But they can't handle 100 people or less than 100 people. It's just so absurd.
It is indeed, Congressman. And again, I think that when you look at the day after the midterm elections, I think when the pollsters look at what happened on Election Day, they're going to find out that a lot of Americans, and especially Hispanic Americans, made their decision at the ballot box because of this lawlessness at the border, and that these illegals have just been allowed to, like you said, invade the United States of America.
Well, it really concerns me for Washington, D.C. home rule that they're determined to violate the constitutional rights of other Americans. They're there to diminish the value of lawful voters by encouraging people that are illegally in the country to vote. There's no country in the world that will allow that kind of activity because they understand. But apparently the leadership in the District of Columbia don't, and perhaps that's why they're willing to allow the torture, the abuses that have gone on in the District of Columbia jail to people that were there over January 6th. It's just absurd there as well.
All right, Congressman, we're going to leave it there. Always good hearing from you, sir.
Well, Todd, you're right on with the most important stories, and I appreciate that so much.
Congressman Louie Gohmert, ladies and gentlemen, on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. We asked a question a few moments ago. If the government comes in, as they are doing in Illinois, and telling people, you got to mask up again, what would you do? Well, Mary in North Carolina, listening to us on WHKP, would like to answer that question. Mary, what say you?
Well, hello, Todd. Actually, my name is Mary Lou.
Ah.
And I'm saying, yeah, I think Grace just kind of skipped over Lou. But anyways, I say, and I'm a Christian lady, I'm going to say no, not only no, but hell no. I am not going to wear a mask. And I wore one very infrequently the last time. I was a real rebel. I said, I'm not doing it.
Oh, Mary anyway. Lou. Yeah, I'm with you on that. especially on the airplane rides. They would let you take the mask off to eat or drink, and you'd be shocked. It took me 45 minutes one flight to eat one of those little biscotti cookies, the biscotti cookies.
Yeah, and what sense did that? They never made any sense. It doesn't make any sense, and I feel sorry for those who were so frightened that they went along with this kind of stuff. They scared the bejeebies out of people by all of this COVID stuff, and you're going to die, and you're going to this, and we know those masks weren't really helping anything.
True.
And I will not do it, period.
Good for you, Mary Lou. Go ahead.
And good for you. And I want to tell you, I love your show. I love the guests. And I love what you say and how you say it and the way you explain it. And sometimes you make me laugh because of the way you say it.
Well, thank you for that, Mary Lou. We'll keep trying to do that for you.
All right, now keep listening.
Thank you,
and you just keep at it, Scott Todd.
All right, thank you, Mary Lou. Mary Lou from North Carolina. I love that part of North Carolina. All sorts of great little towns and communities up through there and good people. I ate at this, where were we at? Rutherfordton, but we weren't in, we were not there. It was at Forest City, I believe. And there's a great little diner. Now, Grace Baker, you're not going to understand this reference. So you should just Google.
Try me.
Woolworth's.
Have you had a sandwich?
No. Have you had a club sandwich at the Woolworth's counter?
No, you got me.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah, I did. I kind of figured as much. So back in the day, Grace, there would be these drugstores, and they would have like a little restaurant in the drugstore. And
oh,
you could sit at the counter, and you would have a soda jerk. And Soda jerk is what they call
them. That sounds mean.
Well, Kyle would have been a good soda jerk. You make the sodas, or like ice cream or milkshakes or things like that. And you would have like a hamburger or something like that, just good diner food. And so anyway, there's one of those in this town, Forest. I believe it is Forest City, North Carolina. I was just there about a week or so ago, and they took me to lunch because normally people are like, oh, you want to eat at Ruth's Chris Fancy Steakhouse or the Fancy, a cucumber sandwich, and I'm like, look, does it look like I eat cucumbers? I don't think so. So I said, no, you got to take me to where the locals eat. And so they took me to this diner, and it was great. I asked the waitress, I said, what do you got? What's your favorite thing on the menu? She goes, you got to try the chicken salad. We're known for the chicken salad.
And was it good?
It was delicious.
I bet.
It was good. What were we talking about? Oh,
I don't know.
Good people. They're just good people in that part of the country.
Yes.
So great little towns. And so we appreciate you guys. All right. Former President Trump just made a big post to True Social, and he is praising our buddy Dick Morris's new book called The Return. Trump says Dick Morris's bestseller is a great book, urges you to get a copy of it. You know, we had Dick on the show to talk about this a while back. The Return reveals that Trump is running again and will even win. It's even predicted recent events. The Return alleges that big media and big tech and the deep state have formed a secret alliance to stop Trump no matter what. And Dick Morris says they're going to fail. Trump calls The Return fantastic and Dick Morris a real pro. And Newsmax says The Return is the book of the year, already an Amazon number one bestseller. You need to get Dick Morris The Return in bookstores everywhere, or you can check out the free offer. And I love free offers. From Newsmax, you're going to save $28. Just call 800-NEWSMAX. That's 800-NEWSMAX. Or go to thereturn911.com. That's thereturn911.com and get your copy today. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good news for all of you KXEL fans. We're on earlier now. We're kind of excited about that. Thanks to our great friend, great American patriot Jeff Stein for sharing that news with the nation. And, of course, we are all going to miss our good friend Jim Bohannon. Jimbo retiring from radio after just an incredible career. And we're excited for the opportunities there in Waterloo, Iowa, and the great radio station KXEL. All right, let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Dan is calling from Cleveland, Georgia. Dan, what's on your mind?
Hello, I got a quick question, a quick comment. I agree with the guy that election was probably stolen. He had a lot of evidence. My question is, how do we prevent it from happening again?
Well, I don't think you can. I mean, there were several states that had issues that needed to be fixed, and they fixed those issues. They tied up some loose ends. They fixed the loopholes, and that might possibly prevent it. I mean, you're always going to have people trying to steal elections. The issue is, on such a grand scale, is that possible? Dan, I don't think it is, mainly because these are localized elections. So it's not like you've got the president of the United States and everybody's voting for the president of the United States. So if, in fact, the Democrats do try and steal, it's going to be a heck of a lot of work on their part to make that happen.
Yeah, I agree with you. And my comment is, as a contract programmer, most of my career working from Warwick, Rhode Island to Glendale, California, to write a program or write programs that could steal an election and be almost undetectable would not be that hard. What we need to have is, when you vote, there should be a paper ballot printed also, and the vote by computer should be confirmed by hand counting. You can publish your results, but you need to confirm it with hand-counted votes. That's the only way.
All right, Dan, good stuff. Thank you for calling in. Thanks for listening to the program. Oh, Joe Biden's at it again. You know, he's got the hair-sniffing thing going on. And he was at a campaign stop in California. And so I have to set this up so you can understand the scene. And we have the video on our website. But he was taking a photograph with these young girls, and he's standing directly behind them, and he leans in. And in a very creepy way, here's what he says.
Look at Danny.
Now, the very important thing I told my daughter and granddaughters, no serious guys in your 30s.
Okay. No what?
No serious guys in your 30s.
I'll keep that in mind. At least.
Yeah, I'll keep that in mind. But he, like, touches their shoulder. It's really creepy. Touches the girl's shoulders, leans in.
The girl looks horrified.
She does.
If you, like, pause it at any point, her eyes are as big as saucers.
It's terrible.
And she's just looking like, oh, my gosh, what is going on?
What's up with this guy? What is going on here?
I don't know if I want to know.
I mean, that's just creepy behavior. And of course, we all know, I mean, we've all read the diary, so that, you know, he knows, we know he has a, you know, an affinity for showers with the children.
Ew.
And Lord, we don't know what else was going on in that household, but there's some really, really horrible stuff happening. And there he is out on the campaign trail. And you wonder if that kind of manifests itself when he's, oh, come here, children. You know, I'm the
Gather
president.
Round.
I'm the commander in chief. Let me smell your hair.
Giving dating advice.
Does he have a favorite shampoo? Is that what he's after?
I was wondering. Is
why,
it Head and Shoulders?
Why sniff the hair?
I don't know.
Wasn't there like, no, that was for babies. So if you like sniff a baby's head, it like gives you the fountain of youth or something.
I've never heard that in my life.
I saw that on Everybody Loves Raymond.
Oh.
I don't know how legitimate that is.
I have a feeling it's a old wives' tale.
It could be, but maybe that's it. Or he likes, you know.
Well, he's old.
You know, well, he is old. But I'm sorry, Donald Trump is old, but he doesn't go around doing that.
No, most people do not do that even when they're in their 80s.
By the way, Jill Biden was at the Philadelphia Eagles game. We got to talk about this real quick.
Speaking of, yeah.
At the Eagles game, they introduce her, face on the big screen, and the Eagles fans boo her.
Oh, yeah.
And apparently it's just off the charts.
It's
crazy.
It's terrible.
Nobody can see. Nobody can find the video.
Isn't that suspicious?
Nobody can find the video. There is video, but it's not the video. It's not the video of her coming into the stadium. There's a fake video of people booing. Somebody made that up. Okay, I think that's fake too. But it sounded even worse than that, is what I'm trying to say.
They're trying to hide it. They
Twitter
don't want to show
it. They're shadow banning it. How bad was it? We want to see the video. All right. Mr. President, stop sniffing the hair. Come on now. All right. Folks, we got to get out of here. Be good, America. We'll see you tomorrow.